look at a familiar character here in the Word of God. And I think oftentimes we can look at ourselves and we can see traits in this individual in our own lives. And I like that. Amen. Whenever we look at the Word of God and we can see people that had failures and people that even at times made bad decisions, and it helps me. Amen. And as we look at the human experience, I'm glad that the Bible is not something that's just removed from that tonight, but it's a practical book, and God wants to help us with those things tonight and help us with our walk with Him. And sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's hard, but I'm glad we have a Bible tonight, amen, have the truth of the Word of God. And God wants to take this truth that He's given us, and He wants it to see it transferred into everyday living. And I'm glad that the Bible is a spiritual book, amen. It's a prophetic book tonight, amen. Sometimes there are some mysteries, some things that we don't understand, but I'm glad it's a practical book tonight, amen. And we can take it and apply it to our heart and life. I want you to go here, Genesis 19, and we're going to just kind of insert ourselves here into the story of a man named Lot. I'm just going to assume tonight and take for granted that you know the story about who Lot was. We know that he was the nephew of Abraham, and traveling there with Abraham's family as God had made a covenant with him. And of course, there was a disagreement between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. Many years have passed now, and we find Lot here in the midst of Sodom, having already been delivered from the king of Sodom. He makes the choice to return to this place all upon his own accord. And we're going to say more about that here in just a little bit. But I want to just pick up reading here in the center of the chapter. And I want you to see the effects of the world and the effects of Sodom upon this individual by the name of Lot. I'm going to just draw some things out for our practical admonition tonight, all right? Let's look here in verse number 4. The Bible says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Now, pay attention to what he says next. He says, "Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do unto them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof, and they said, Stand back. They said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, and they that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed of the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city." I want to leave off our reading there. We're going to reference the chapter, so I'd invite you to keep your Bible open here. But want to look at some things out of this chapter concerning Lot tonight. I want to pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll look at it. All right. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs that have been sung. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of your lovely name. Lord, thank you, God, that you have saved us. You've set us apart. Lord, you have God sanctified us. One day you will glorify us. And Lord, all of that is for your name's sake. It's for your honor and your glory. And I pray, God, tonight, Lord, as we are positionally saved and we are positionally sanctified tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would bring the reality of practical sanctification, Lord, our everyday walk. I pray, Lord, that you would put that at the forefront of our heart and our mind and our thinking tonight. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we endeavor to live for you, as we endeavor to serve you. Lord, in this walk of life, I pray that you would be pleased with our service. God, I pray, Lord, that we would do it with the anticipation and the great reward of hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to live for you. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to serve you. Thank you, Lord, for a place on the side of the road where we can come, we can worship you, and we can hear instruction from your word. I pray, God, that you would, Lord, anoint us and help us tonight. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and a heart to receive the word of God. I pray that you'd help us, strengthen us, make us better as we go than when we came tonight. We'll ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Whenever we look at this chapter tonight, and listen, these are very basic thoughts tonight. This is more of a devotional thought, and I pray that God would take it and make it preaching tonight. Amen. Take these devotional thoughts and make it a message, and that God would take these things and that he would burden our heart concerning these things and burn these in our heart, that we may better serve him, that we may better walk with him tonight. Amen. And so whenever we come up to Genesis chapter number 19, we are going to forego a lot of the preliminary statements concerning this, but whenever we think about the life of Lot tonight, as he left Abraham and he comes to this place and all of the things that happened in between then till now, when we find Lot departing for Sodom, amen, Lot departs from Sodom. We said earlier on that there was some contention between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. We know that these were pastoral people. They led about these animals, these fields of pasture, and that was the great sign of their wealth in these days, the abundance of things, the abundance of animals. And we know that in the Old Testament, particularly with the patriarchs, that the way God had blessed his people was with great wealth and great abundance. Amen. And as they are there, as they are with their livelihood and they have their living, there is a contention between those people within this family, within this group. And of course, Lot departs for Sodom. We'll say more about that in just a moment. But then we find Lot not only departing for Sodom, but we find Lot dwelling in Sodom. He makes his home in the world. And as he makes his home in the world, we find out as we look and as we study this man's life, he is not only making his home in this world, but he is very much at home in this world. And one of the great warnings that I think that we can find from his life is that as Christians, while we are in this world, we certainly are not of this world. Amen. As the old songwriter said, we're strangers and we're pilgrims here. Amen. We're seeking a city to come. We don't need to set our tent pegs too deep in this world. Understand that we have our living and we have our being and we have our movement in this world, and there are things that we have to do. We have to make a living. We have to conduct business. But thank God, listen, our citizenship belongs somewhere else tonight. Amen. The Bible references Abraham as he sought a city whose builder and maker was God. And as we sojourn, or as we journey in this life here below, as we make this journey of faith, may we never get distracted, and may we never get sidetracked, and may we never make the world the real issue and the big issue in our heart. May we continue to be heavenly minded and continue to be people of faith tonight. Amen. So Lot departs for Sodom. Lot dwells in Sodom. But then, thank God, in the chapter before us tonight, we see Lot being delivered from Sodom. Amen. He had made his home in this world. And while he was at home in this world, listen, God had other plans and had other intentions for him. And thank God, the way that this chapter closes out is we find that Lot is being delivered from Sodom. Thank God, as we make our way through this walk of life, the end goal is this, is that one day God is going to deliver us from this present world. We have been saved and we have been set apart, but thank God one of these days we're going home. Amen. And so as we look at Lot's life tonight, we consider those things. And I want you to think about the practical nature of what we read about here in the Word of God. And really, I don't have a great title tonight, but really I just want to present to you tonight some lessons from Lot's life. Amen. Some lessons from Lot's life. The practical nature of these things, I believe that they would help us in our walk with God tonight. Whenever we consider this call concerning Lot being called out of this place called Sodom, and Lot being delivered, or God intending to deliver him out of this place, I want you to consider some things concerning Lot tonight. And the first thing that I want you to think about is I want you to think about Lot's certainty in light of the decisions that he has made, all right? Lot's certainty in light of the decisions that he has made. I want you to look at what the Bible says in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot." They're hurrying him along. They're trying to get him to see the urgency of the situation, that destruction is coming, that God is wanting to deliver him and lead him out, and that God is going to destroy this place and destroy these people because of the great wickedness in this city. And look at what the Bible has to say in verse number 16. "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city." And so here's the picture here. Here's what's literally taking place in the Word of God. You've got Lot, who has established himself after years. The Bible even alludes to the fact that maybe he has a position in the city. The chapter opens up with him sitting in the gate. That was where all of the business took place. I mean, he is well accommodated and well acclimated to this city. And literally the angels are having to come down and prompt him and literally grab him by the hand and say, "Lot, gather your family and leave this place because God wants to destroy it." Amen. I want you to notice his answer to these angels. Amen. And it's interesting to me that whenever we see the contrast of Lot and these heavenly beings versus other people in the Word of God who had interactions with angels, most of the time we see people falling down prostrate. Most of the time we see people doing something very near almost to worship, at least obeisance and reverence to these heavenly beings. But here these angels come and he's just having a conversation with them. He's just carrying on with them like it's no big deal. The Bible says in verse number 17, "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Notice his reaction, his answer in verse number 18. Oh, not so, my Lord. "Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life." Now here Lot is. He has made his living in Sodom. He has walked away from Abraham. He was aware of the covenant that God had with him. He was aware of all of the blessings. And Lot willingly chose to walk away from Abraham and build his life in this place and surround himself and get acclimated and get used to the great wickedness, and these angels come, and now all of a sudden Lot wants to get spiritual. He's so certain of his choice and he's so certain of his decisions tonight. They tell him, they literally tell him what God is going to do, and he says, not so, my Lord. It's no big deal. It's really not that bad. He had gotten used to the people of Sodom. He had gotten used to the great wickedness. As a matter of fact, when Peter commentates on his life, here's what he said. He said, "Just Lot vexed his righteous soul, seeing and hearing the great wickedness of Sodom." He had gotten acclimated to what was around him. He had gotten used to the dark in his life, and he was so certain of the choice that he had made to walk away from the place of blessing, to walk away from his family, and to walk away from the leadership of the Lord in his life. Lot walked away intentionally. He didn't wind up by way of happenstance in Sodom. He set his eyes upon the well-watered plains of Jordan as he had contention with Abraham and his herdsmen. And listen, there was great contention that was allowed. Lot allowed it to drive a wedge between he and Abraham. And listen, there are people that will allow contention, and they will allow disagreements, and they will allow misunderstandings to drive a wedge between them and the people of God, isolating themselves from the place where God can help them, isolating themselves from the church, and then ultimately isolating themselves from God tonight. Amen. And can I say this, that if there is somebody that you are contentious with and there are little disagreements and little squabbles that are robbing you of revival in your life, they're robbing you of a true walk with God, and they're robbing you of great fellowship with the church tonight, listen, can I encourage you, get right with God. Listen, I'm telling you, in light of eternity, these things simply do not matter tonight. Amen. I'm going to encourage you to get right with God concerning that. Lot walked away from the blessings of God. He was aware of God, aware of God's covenant with Abraham, aware of these things. And can I say this, that because he was aware, therefore he was accountable tonight. Amen. We're accountable for what we know. We're accountable for what we have. We're accountable for the blessings that God has given us tonight. And listen, I'm telling you, there is a whole lot that we have to walk away from. There is a whole lot that we would have to intentionally leave tonight. But this man, when he was confronted by these heavenly beings, he is so certain of himself. He is so certain of the decisions that he makes. And the fact of the matter is tonight is we cannot trust ourselves. Amen. Sometimes we make decisions that are foreign from what God would really have us to do. We make decisions that are contrary to the Word of God. And some way, somehow, we just have a knack for convincing ourselves that we're doing the right thing, that we're going to be okay. But listen, there was impending destruction that was coming upon this world. And Lot was faced with that. And Lot was confronted with that tonight. Amen. We see Lot's certainty quickly. I wanted to say that and hasten on. We not only see Lot's certainty, but then I think about and consider Lot's choice tonight. Lot's choice. Not only Lot's certainty, but Lot's choice concerning the fact that he is confronted with these things and confronted with this great warning tonight. Amen. God gives Lot the choice to do right. In spite of all that he'd done, in spite of all the decisions that he had made, in spite of all of the roads that he had willingly walked down tonight, isn't it wonderful concerning the mercy and the grace of God that God looks at Lot and God sees the decisions that he's made. God sees the mess that he has made. God sees the influences that this man has had with his family tonight and the bad decisions one after the next. And Lot is here in this place. And listen, if it had just been up to me or left up to you, we'd have probably left Lot there, not said anything to him, and dropped fire and brimstone on the city and had an attitude like this: well, the world's probably better off without him tonight. Amen. But that is not the line of thinking that our God has. That is not the heart of our God. Thank God he is plenteous in mercy, and he's always ready to show grace, and he's always ready to bless those that are his tonight. Amen. God gives Lot the choice to finally do right. And can I encourage you tonight? Listen, maybe there are some things in your life that have not turned out like you thought that they should. Maybe some things that you're experiencing and you're facing tonight, you're dealing with great difficulty, even by the work of your own hand, and even by some bad decisions and some bad choices that you've made. I'm glad that the God that we serve will not leave us to ourselves. And thank God there is always a way of escape. There is always grace, and there is always mercy for the child of God. It may have not been that way for the Sodomites. It may not have been that way for the inhabitants of Gomorrah. It may have not been that way for the worldling tonight. Amen. But thank God, listen, Lot had something that the world did not have. He had righteousness. Amen. He had a relationship that was established. And no matter how far he went, God always left the door open. And God had always extended the invitation. And can I encourage you tonight, if you backslid in your heart and you're cold and indifferent on God, listen, thank God, God is waiting with arms open wide, and He'll take you back tonight. Your fellowship can be right. You can be blessed again, and things really can be like they were before. The devil will lie to you tonight. Things can't ever be like they were before. You've gone too far. You've done too much. You've made a fool of yourself. The decisions that you've made cannot be reversed. And while that may be practically true in some senses, we can always get right with God tonight. Amen. God gives Lot the choice to finally do right. In Genesis chapter number 14, Abraham delivers and rescues Lot. From who? From the king of Sodom. From that band of kings, that group of individuals. Abraham comes, and with the sword and with his servants of his household come, and they deliver Lot out of the world. Genesis 12, we know that Lot originally came with Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. And so the same things that Abraham has seen, Lot has seen. The same deliverance that Abraham has seen, Lot has seen. The same blessings of God that Lot has seen, or that Abraham has seen, Lot has seen tonight. Amen. And so Genesis 13, Lot is given the choice to go. He chooses Sodom, makes a bad decision. But now here in these moments, while he's lingering, while the messengers of God come, while he's comfortable here in Sodom and receives the news of the coming destruction, listen, God gives him a choice. And thank God tonight that he makes the right choice. Thank God he's willing to go. He hears about the coming destruction. And he chooses to go with these angels and go with these men. But I want you to consider this choice that he makes tonight. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. He said, "Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto them, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. That name Zoar, it's interesting. It means little. It means little tonight. And whenever you think about that word little, in light of Lot's life, I think it's indicative of a lot of different things concerning his life tonight. Listen, whenever Lot started out and whenever Lot left, listen, it was just a little bit that caught his attention. It was just a little bit that caught his eye. He looked and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan tonight, and he just had a taste and he just wanted a little bit. Amen. Kind of like, you remember the prodigal son. I reread that account today there in Luke's gospel. How he desired that far country and desired that inheritance, and he wasn't going to wait for his father to die. He was done with daddy reining him in. He was done with the elder brother. Maybe he wrote his case a lot. He was a Pharisee, and he had to get out of that place. He wanted what he wanted right then, and he went to that far country, and he spent all that he had with riotous living. It started with just a little desire in his heart, and my friend, listen, we've heard it over and over and over again, and it's always been good preaching, and it always will. But listen, sin and bad decisions, they always start small tonight. Amen. I don't think that there's anybody that just wakes up and says, "You know, today I think I'm going to lose my mind. I think I'm going to walk away from everything that I've ever known." But the world and the flesh and the devil work on them little by little by little, and that conscience is torn down, and the standard is dropped. and the barriers are done away with, until one day an individual lands in a place that they never thought they'd go tonight. Amen. You say, that can't happen to me. It can happen, and it has happened to people that are better than you tonight. Amen. And better than me. Lot finally made the right choice. But he was satisfied with just a little. And I want you to think about his choices that he made and who they affected. Remember, the Word of God tells us here, he's given specific instructions not to look back. What does his wife do later on in the chapter? His wife looks back. The Bible declares to us that she became a pillar of salt. I wonder if this would have happened, and I think we know exactly the answer to this question. Would this have happened to this woman if he ever went to Sodom? I think the answer tonight is a definitive no. This would have never happened to this woman. This would have never happened in her life if Lot would have ever went to Sodom. You think about the life that this man lived and the testimony that he developed. He comes and he tells the warning of the news of God going to destroy this place. And he comes in and he tells his family to get up. And they look at him, and the Bible says that it was to his sons-in-law like one that mocked. All of the decisions that he made, all of the things that he allowed to creep into his home and creep into his life, and the things that they were surrounded with, all of the decisions that he made. And it's like, now you want to talk about the Lord? Now you want to talk about what God's going to do? Yeah, we remember God, and we remember Uncle Abraham, and we remember some story about, remember when our father-in-law left and came to this place. We remember something about that. But listen, this is all that these individuals had ever known, and then he wants to start talking about God? Why would God destroy this place? We've got everything that we could ever want here. The bright lights, the high society, man, this place is fun. This place is wonderful. They had gotten used to the dark in their life. And I think one thing that stands out concerning this is Lot leaving Abraham and coming to this place called Sodom. Listen, Lot had every opportunity that Abraham did. Every opportunity. There was no difference. He was part of the crowd. He was part of the family. And every opportunity Abraham had, Lot had. We ought to make the best of our decisions tonight. Amen. We ought to make best of the opportunities that God has given us tonight. Amen. We ought to make the best and utilize every opportunity that we have for God. There was nothing in Lot's life that was a big deal. Nothing in his life was a big deal. We'll just move to Sodom. All of that stuff took place. The angels come. Fire and brimstone, I don't know. It's not that big of a deal. And nothing was a big deal in this man's life. Sometimes the temptation that we face, those things that we're confronted with in this life, sometimes they just don't seem like that big of a deal. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal. It doesn't matter really if I miss church. You know, missing one service a week, it's not really that big of a deal. It's not that big of a deal. Taking that job that's going to take me away from the house of God and take me out of the place of blessing, not really that big of a deal. And then we get to the place where, you know, judgment's coming, the Lord's coming again. You know, I've heard that my whole life. That's not really that big of a deal. The Lord knows I've got to make money. The Lord knows I've got a family to provide. The Lord knows. Now, it's not really that big of a deal what my children are exposed to. You know, I don't really want to be a fanatic, and I don't want people to think that I'm weird. And really, when you just look at it and when you boil it all down, is it really that big of a deal? I mean, is it that big of a thing in my life if I do this? Or if I go here, or I do that, or I listen to this, or I wear that, is it really a big deal? Listen to me. It may not be a real big deal now, but it's gonna become a big deal, and it'll become a hindrance in your life. No big deal, right? We see Lot's certainty. We see Lot's choice. You ought to make the most of your opportunities. Could I encourage you tonight, whatever you're going to be for Jesus, be it now. You may not have tomorrow. You may never reach old age. You might never get married. You might never have children. Jesus could come tomorrow. What are we going to do with the opportunities that we have been given? Whatever you're going to be for the honor and glory of God, I want to encourage you to be that now. Don't wait on the opportunity. The opportunity's here. You ought to take advantage of that tonight. Amen. We see Lot's certainty, Lot's choice. But then I want you to think about this tonight. I want you to consider Lot's Christ. Lot's Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? Lot's Christ. Look with me in verse number 29. The Bible said, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Did you catch that? There in verse number 29, the Bible says in verse number 27, Abraham got up early in the morning to that place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country that went up as the smoke of the furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. Amen. You know why Lot was delivered tonight? Because God remembered Abraham. You know why there was an angel and a messenger sent to warn him to get out of that place? Listen, it was because God remembered Abraham. Lot was delivered from Sodom's king by Abraham's sword. Lot was delivered from God's judgment by Abraham's supplication. The word of God and an advocate that stood before God. That was the reason that he was delivered tonight. And thank God, listen, we fast forward to the new covenant. Hey, the only reason we've been delivered and the only reason we've been saved, the only reason we're blessed and the only reason we've got the promise of heaven is not because we're anything, but it's all because of Christ and it's all because of righteousness that God has provided in his Son. Amen. The only reason Lot was delivered and spared was because God made a covenant with Abraham tonight. And we have been spared and we have been delivered for Christ's sake. Listen, as we walk and we live practically in this world as a Christian, don't get mixed up about this thing of serving God. You are not serving God to pay off some kind of debt. God is not twisting your arm trying to make you do anything tonight. He is a perfect gentleman. He'll allow you to make the choices that you make. And though you make those choices, you cannot choose the consequences tonight. But God is not going to twist your arm. God is not going to be abrasive with you and make you do anything tonight. God will prod your heart and God will convict you and God will lead you about by the Word of God and the Spirit of God tonight. Amen. But listen, we are not serving God to pay off some kind of debt tonight. Oh, but listen, we have the opportunity and the privilege to serve God not because we're paying off some debt, but because on Mount Calvary the debt was paid and the blessings are freely flowing from the throne of God. And what an opportunity we have to serve the God of glory because of Christ. What an opportunity Lot had because of Abraham tonight. Amen. And then I want to show you this, and I'm done. We're out of time tonight. I see Lot's certainty. I see Lot's choice. I see Lot's Christ. He is a God worth serving tonight. He is a Savior worth living for. But then I see Lot's consequences. Even though the warning came, understand this, even though deliverance was coming, there were some decisions in his life that had already been made. And here's what you need to know tonight, that while forgiveness can be found and blessing can be restored, there are consequences to our actions tonight. And there are some things that you do, you may come to an altar and you may get it under the blood, and that's wonderful tonight, but that doesn't always take care of the consequences in life. That doesn't always just make things go away. And Lot made these choices, and Lot went to Sodom, and Lot had to live and deal with the consequences. And as a matter of fact, if you think tonight that the decisions that you make don't affect anybody but you, here we are, what is it, some 4,000 years later from this point? And the world tonight, today, at this very moment, is still dealing with what was born out of Lot's decisions. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament particularly that we look at and we say, why in the world would God give us the details? And I'm not going to deal with it tonight, but you know the story of what happened with Lot and his daughters after God rained down fire and brimstone upon these people. And I want you to look at the product of these choices and the product of these decisions. Look at verse number 36 of the chapter. The Bible says, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. You think decisions don't matter, and you think the consequences of your choices don't matter. The people of God and the world are still dealing with the consequences of Lot's choice. And Moses and Joshua and countless kings of Israel and countless kings of Judah had battles and had difficulty and had problems, all because of one man's choice. Because the plains look good. I can do real good over there, and I don't have to worry about Uncle Abraham. I don't have to worry about his herdsmen. I can go out and cut out a trail and build a life on my own, and those well-watered plains look real, real good. But he did not take into account the people. He didn't take into account the place. He didn't take into account the things that he was going to be faced with, and Lot certainly paid for his choices. They affected his wife. They affected his daughters. And we could say more and more and more about this, but he paid for those choices through people in his life. Our decisions impact others. My decisions will undoubtedly impact my wife and my children, but my decisions may impact the generation that's coming behind me. And when I really think about that, and when I really consider that, is that something that I really want to live with? Is that something that I really want to see come to pass? We are assured tonight of Lot's salvation only after he's gone. The Bible declares to us in the New Testament that he is just Lot. Though he was just, and though he was righteous in the sight of God, I tell you what he left for us tonight. He left a poor testimony. And I don't want to live the kind of life where people have to wonder, was he saved? We've all been to those funerals. And there's such a difference tonight between the funeral of a believer and an unbeliever. But I'm going to tell you what's more disheartening than any of that is a person who walked that line and you're just absolutely not sure. You have no idea where they went. You have no idea the impact of their decisions. You don't know if they love God or not, because they talked out of both sides of their mouth. They professed faith, but their actions never lined up. I don't want to live a life like that. I don't want to leave my children with a question mark. I don't want to leave the people that I knew with a question mark tonight. So how do we do that? Love God. Many of us do. But I think we ought to take the truths of this book and let them be real to us tonight. Let them translate into a life lived for the honor and the glory of God tonight. Amen. Let's stand together all over the Lord's house.